Will you support a biblical alternative to the false teaching of TBN, INSP, Daystar, and other such networks? Would you be willing to partner with us so we can continue to broadcast a biblical worldview? We're committed to continuing our efforts in building a biblical television network of broadcasters as an alternative to the false teaching that's found on so many of the networks today. You can help us generate the needed financial resources for biblical broadcasting by joining the Worldview Weekend Situation Room right now at situationroom.net or by making a tax-deductible contribution at WVWFoundation.com. You can find our mailing address at WVWFoundation.com if you prefer to send a check. Thank you.
Faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Welcome. Glad you are with us. Dr. John Whitcomb joins us today for another installment of Ask Dr. John. And by the way, we're continuing to work on having these transcribed, and along with many of our other programs, transcribed. It's rather expensive. Now, some of you email me and say, did you transcribe today's show? No, because a transcription sometimes costs us $150 to $200 a program, so we can't do this constantly. But we do take the best of the best, and certainly Dr. John's programs we think are in that category, and we'd like to have them transcribed. And when the new Situation Room unveils here in a few weeks, one of the things you're going to find is a lot more transcripts that you can then use the new and improved powerful search engine in the Situation Room to search topics. So it's basically a biblical worldview, apologetic, theological, doctrinal library that we're building. And I was talking to my 11-year-old the other night and telling him, I don't know what the Lord will call him to do, but I was telling him, you know, what so much of what I'm doing, I am building with you in mind should you want to continue this. And what we're building and transcribing and recording and filming and post-editing, I hope to entrust to you. One way or the other, whether you do this full-time or whether you go into another occupation, I still expect you to oversee this because we've put too many years and too many thousands of hours and literally hundreds of thousands of dollars into doing all this and building all this and studying and filming and post-editing and transcribing. And this is a resource that must not be just simply tossed aside once I depart this world. You must maintain this on a global scale for the church. And so I'm continuing to put that into the mind of my youngest son, who actually bears my name. Most people don't know that, but he actually bears my name. We call him by his middle name, but he actually bears my name. And he is a bright, bright straight-A student with a lot of gifts and abilities, and we're eager to see what the Lord will do. But what I am building, what we are building, what you are helping us to build, we pray will go on for years to come and be entrusted to another generation to continue. By the way, speaking of that, I've now added to the Situation Room today more presentations for you under the MP3 heading. If you go to the Situation Room and you log in, if you're a member at situationroom.net, you will find that the Situation Room includes more MP3 keynote presentations. Jesus Culture Part 1 and 2. It's not just a band, it's a movement. That's what they say. You can hear that program as an MP3. It was a TV show, but we're taking these TV shows and we're turning them into MP3s because, again, some of you don't want to stream the bandwidth of a video while you're not even watching it because you're jogging and walking the dog or whatever you're doing, but you want to listen to the program. So Jesus Culture Part 1 and 2 and Pastors Twist Scripture and Arms for Money. I go into the tithe of the Old Testament, first, second, and third tithe, two-part series. The First Jesuit Pope, Religious Trojan Horse Exposed, Part 1 and 2, and we'll continue to add more over the next several days as eventually we are now getting up into what we hope will be a good 300, 400, 500 MP3s of keynote presentations we've taken and turned into MP3s. Well, you can, again, find out more about all that at situationroom.net. We're very excited, though, about the new Situation Room that will be coming very soon, but we're continuing to add stuff daily, situationroom.net. Well, Dr. John, welcome back to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Praise the Lord. A wonderful privilege to listen to God speak to us through his precious book, the Bible.
Amen to that. Well, I have been doing some studying today on Malachi, the book of Malachi, and particularly the chapter of Malachi that deals with Elijah. And so Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, I've been dealing with some of the New Testament texts related to John the Baptist, who came in the spirit of Elijah. I'm dealing with the texts that talk about Elijah returning. We see, I think, in Revelation, the two prophets, which I think personally are Elijah and Moses. But we see that Elijah will appear, what appears to be, when the scriptures say he will come and he will prepare the way for the Lord. He will herald the coming of the Lord. In fact, the Bible says it'll be the great and terrible day of the Lord, in many respects, judgment. And as John was in the spirit of Elijah preparing the way of the Lord, as those who would come and herald the coming of a king or a great ruler, so John heralded the way and the coming of the Lord, the Messiah. And then Elijah will do the same at the second coming, at the end of the tribulation, going into the millennium. And so the Bible tells us that he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the children to the fathers. Now, as I've been studying this, Dr. John, here's my question for you. That's the great thing about hosting this program. I get to ask my questions to you to see if I'm on the right page. As I've been studying the John Wesley commentary this morning, I've been studying the Matthew Henry concise commentary this morning. And as I understand it, Dr. John, what we're talking about here is Elijah coming, potentially the one of the two prophets, preaching for those years, proclaiming the gospel, and seeing a great multitude of the Jewish people become believers. And yet we hear today, I don't know if you know this, Dr. John, or not, many within the Word of Faith, or what's called the New Apostolic Reformation, are like Rick Joyner and the Jesus Culture Band, are always talking about the spirit of Elijah is here. The spirit of Elijah is here. And we've got to be that generation of the spirit of Elijah that will turn the fathers to their children and their children to the fathers. And as I study this verse for Twisted Scripture, Twisted Theology, Volume 2, and a TV program I'm looking to film later today, my question to you is this. Dr. John, it seems that this passage is referring to Elijah turning the hearts of the Jewish people to the Lord, preaching the gospel. But also, why does it say, I will turn the hearts of the father to the children and the children of the fathers? What it seems to be addressing here is the fact that they will come in unity under the gospel. They will come in unity under Messiah. And the reason that was apropos for the Old Testament is because many of the fathers would train their children in what Wesley's commentary calls estranged from their the estranged fathers were undutifully teaching their kids false things. And so that will be stopped, and there will be the gospel, and they will respond, and the fathers and the children will come in unity under the Father. Is that what you, how you read these passages, Dr. John?
Yes, it seems that something drastic, supernatural, in fact, of course, is going to happen when these two witnesses appear. They're going to preach Jesus, the Messiah, to that nation as perhaps they've never heard before, and God, the Holy Spirit, will transform the nation of Israel from unbelievers, where you have, as you mentioned, families and homes that are divided and hostility and unbelief and disobedience, and that characterizes all of us, not just Jews today, apart from the grace of God through Jesus. So it's a wonderful thing, isn't it, to see how the Spirit of God will unite families, not just individuals, but parents and children together in one faith, one bondage in the Holy Spirit, bonding together. And I say thank you, Lord, for the marvelous work that only you, by your Holy Spirit, can do through the Word of God, as these great preachers, Moses and Elijah, will proclaim.
So when the Word of Faith and the New Apostolic Reformation says that we need to be moving in the spirit of Elijah and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children of the fathers, they've got it all wrong. First of all, they're not Elijah, number one. Although Rick Joyner, I don't know if you've heard the audio, we have it for the TV program this next week. Rick Joyner, one of the New Apostolic Reformation false teachers, claims that he went to heaven for 8 hours a few weeks ago and was there visiting with Elijah. And so he's going back and forth between here and heaven and says that we have the power to cure Ebola and that we all need to be taking trips regularly to heaven. And yet I still see after all the things this guy has written and said over the years, him being interviewed recently or last year, wherever when it was, 2 years ago, by Tim Wildman of the American Family Association. I see Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council speaking for his Oak Initiative. I'm thinking, how many crazy, silly, heretical things do you have to say before people quit, you know, working with you and interviewing you and promoting you? I guess, you know, if you speak biblical truth, now today you're considered crazy, then they want to separate from you. But if you're teaching that you've gone to heaven and visited with Elijah, you're still in the new religious right club. But he's claiming that this spirit of Elijah is upon us. Well, how could that be, Dr. Whitcomb? This Elijah will be doing this through the power of the Holy Spirit, and that is going to occur during the tribulation.
Right.
There's no evidence we're in the tribulation now. We don't have a one-world economic system, a one-world religion. We don't see this mother of harlots potentially based out of Rome, all the world's religions coming together. We don't see a temple built. We could just go on and on. All the evidence, and then needless to say, the rapture hasn't occurred if people hold to that view. Even if they don't hold to that view, look at, and they think they're going to be here during the tribulation. There is no evidence we're in the tribulation. Therefore, how could this be the age of the spirit of Elijah, Dr. John?
Yes, that is, of course, a sad reminder, isn't it? That in the final phase of church history, the Apostle Paul reminds Timothy over and over, perilous times shall come, for men shall turn from the truth to fables. Men will proclaim themselves as having miraculous power. And these are things that test the saints. Yes, they say, God says, measure these claims, these announcements, these miracle experiences, so-called, with what God says in his precious book, the Bible. And we have written even a booklet on this called, Does God Want Christians to Perform Sign Miracles Today? Absolutely not. Many biblical evidences showing that that is a sign of apostasy, not of revelation from God.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Dr. John. All right. Here's some of the questions that have come in this week. About every 2 weeks, we have Dr. John on, and I'll tell you in a few minutes how you can get your question on our schedule here for a program, Lord willing, 2 weeks from today. Here's what someone's written in. My pastor taught the new covenant was made between God and Christ, not God and people. Does Scripture not clearly teach us that Christ is the substance, mediator, and fulfillment of the new covenant between God and man, ratified by his blood?
That's an easy one to answer, isn't it? If you've read Jeremiah 31, listen to this. Jeremiah 31:31, God said to Israel, Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And not, you notice this, it's not a covenant made between God and Christ, the Father and the Son, but a covenant between God and man. And that, of course, that is ratified, as the question asked, by the blood of Jesus. Now this is all amplified, clarified in the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, where we read this, that if the first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion sought for a second. And then he quotes this passage from Jeremiah 31, and he said, a new covenant, he has made the first one obsolete. And I say, thank you, Lord, the new covenant is not just between the Father and the Son, but between the Father and the nation of Israel, and God's people today, the church, are grafted in to that wonderful tree of blessing, as you know from Romans 11, where we are grafted in as Gentiles into the covenant that God made with Abraham, whereby we benefit from that wonderful foundation that God made by salvation through simple faith, not by works. Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. God made promises to Abraham concerning that his descendants, of course, would have a land, that's Israel, and the sacrificial system, the temple, and so forth, but we are grafted into that foundation of faith, not that we become Jews. You see, it's the distinction between Israel and the church.
Hold right there, Dr. John. We'll pick it up on the other side of the break with Ask Dr. John. How would you like to receive $300 in Worldview Weekend DVDs? Hello, I'm Brandon House, and when you join the Situation Room, that's exactly what you'll receive. We're going to send you 20 of our Worldview Weekend DVDs as our way of saying thank you for joining the Worldview Weekend Situation Room. that is a huge part of our general operating budget. You see, without a healthy general operating budget, how can we produce all of the radio shows that we sponsor? Look at all the radio shows that we specifically sponsor and produce, like the radio show of Mike Abendroth, the radio show of Justin Peters, and the radio Bible teaching program of Susan Heck, and the list goes on and on. These are unique radio shows, many of them that we started, and we sponsor them. The same thing is true with our television. We not only have the Worldview Weekend Hour TV show, but we now are giving television shows, specifically their own TV show, to Mike Abendroth, Tommy Ice, Mike Gendron, Justin Peters, Usama Dakdok, and they come into our Memphis, Tennessee studio, they film them here, and then we, Worldview Weekend and Worldview Weekend Foundation, post-edit them and distribute them as a ministry. And then, of course, they roll into the Situation Room after a few days where you have this vast library of over $45,000 in resources. But we can't do that unless enough of you join the Situation Room, which acts as the general operating budget for producing radio and television. So let me be honest with you. When you join the Situation Room, you're doing us a big favor, but we also think you're doing yourself a favor and your family a favor by having access online to a vast library of MP3s, audiobooks, TV shows, transcripts, e-books, and much more. So please, join the Situation Room today, situationroom.net, and our latest offer, we like to update this offer every now and then, our latest offer is we're sending anyone that joins today, as of today, the new offer is 20 of our Worldview Weekend DVDs will be put in the mail to you. That's $300 worth of DVDs that we're sending to you as our way of saying thank you for joining the Worldview Weekend Situation Room. You can join now at situationroom.net, situationroom.net. This offer, sadly, is only for people living inside the United States of America because of the expensive cost of shipping outside the United States. But please, don't let that stop our international friends from joining. You can get the great value of the Situation Room as well by joining at situationroom.net. We just can't offer you the free DVDs because of the cost of shipping. However, those of you living in the U.S., join today, situationroom.net. We're going to send you 20 DVDs valued retail-wise at $300 as our way of saying thank you for joining the Situation Room and supporting our general operating budget that allows us to continue to produce radio and television from a biblical worldview perspective with many different hosts. Welcome back. Glad you are with us. Just heard from one of our friends on Facebook who said that they are enjoying the new MP3s, said the Situation Room is such a blessing to me as I now can listen to so many more hours of excellent teaching. Well, thank you, Ellen. That's why, again, we're converting hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of DVDs, TV shows into MP3s because, again, some of you want to watch the TV shows. Some of you just want the MP3s. And so we're trying to make all of this resource, these resources available to you in different formats that meet your needs. So I hope you'll check it out, situationroom.net. We'll continue adding more over the next several days and weeks, and it's going to take us a while. We're ripping DVDs every day and turning them into MP3s. And so we got the computers humming and doing that, and then we'll load them up as every day. A few more are added in, so I hope you'll check it out, situationroom.net. Dr. John Whitcomb joins us about every 2 weeks for what we call Ask Dr. John. He's 90 years old this past June. He has been a theologian for many years of studying God's Word. He's highly respected by people across the board, you know, many, many pastors' names that you would know and recognize, many Christian leaders that we respect, Ken Ham, John MacArthur, and so many others, recognize Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. I mean, the list goes on and on of the people that respect Dr. Whitcomb and are thankful for his ministry, as are we. And we get the benefit of having him with us every 2 weeks. When you send in your questions, info@worldviewweekend.com. That's all it takes. Just email us, info@worldviewweekend.com. Put in the subject line, please, Ask Dr. John, info@worldviewweekend.com. Put in the subject line, Ask Dr. John, and we'll add your question to the lineup. Now, a little bit later, we hope to open the phone lines up because some of you don't mind calling in, but some of you don't want to be on live radio, and some of you can't because you're at work, and so you listen later in the week or the next day, or maybe you even stream it live, but you know, you're respecting the fact that you are working for someone and you need to be diligent about being about that, not on the phone, calling into a talk program. So you have a question that you want to ask, but you can't do it. So we give you the chance to email it in at info@worldviewweekend.com. Those of you that can call in, we'll let you do that in just a little bit. Dr. John, do I need to let you follow up with this first question here?
Yes, this is a very interesting thing. Romans, here's the key, Romans chapter 11 explains our relationship to the Abrahamic covenant. It says, if some of the branches were broken off, that is a tree of blessing that was Israel, based upon that root, that rich root, which is faith that Abraham had in God. If some of the branches were broken off, that's the Jews, and you, being a wild olive, were grafted in among them and became partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree. That's how Gentiles at the beginning of the church age were grafted in to that tree of blessing. It says, don't be arrogant toward the branches against the Jews. The root supports you. You're not in charge of everything. God is in mercy, saved you. And you say, well, those branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Correct. But don't take unfair advantage of that. Pray for Jewish people that they, the original branches, will be grafted back in. You say, Jews coming back to Messiah? Oh, yes. Listen to how Romans 11 goes on. All Israel will be saved. That's right. Partial happening, hardening has happened to them until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. That's the church. And all Israel will be saved. And I say, Lord, help me to believe these wonderful promises, not be arrogant against the Jews, the basic root that they were given by faith in connection with Abraham, but to walk in faith by the Holy Spirit and rejoice in the hope that Israel someday, too, will experience the fullness of God's prophecies and promises to them at the beginning of the Great Tribulation.
Excellent. All right, here's the next question. What was the population of the earth during the Tower of Babel and by the time Abraham was called out of Ur?
I think the answer to that is that there were thousands of people who helped to build the Tower of Babel. Now, you read that in Genesis chapter 11. It says the whole earth used the same language and the same words. That's from creation of the world in Adam and Eve. There's just one language spoken. That's amazing. But as time went on, after the flood, thousands of people gathered together, so sad, and said, come, let's build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach to heaven, and make for ourselves a name, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Now, that was a blasphemous project, building a ziggurat, a temple tower, by which supposedly they could reach even to heaven itself in that top level, a room that looked like heaven with a throne with the idol of God. You know, Nebuchadnezzar built one of these ziggurats, too. He called it Et Temenanki. And I say, Lord, how awful. And we read, of course, that God had to destroy that project and scatter people to the ends of the earth. So by that time, by the time of the Tower of Babel, there must have been many years that went by for the population not only to grow to a huge number, but for people to turn away from Noah and Noah's God and deliberately reject him as their Lord and their Savior. How sad. And, of course, the next part of that question, by the time of Abraham, how many people were there in the world? There were probably millions by the time of Abraham, because, you see, there were many more years back there that are hard for us even to imagine. In Genesis chapter 11, we know that, for example, Terah, the father of Abram, says he lived 70 years and became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. But we know it was more than 70, because the next chapter says that Abraham was 75 when he went out from Haran, and his father Terah was 205. So you see, there's an additional 55 years in there. Every name in this list in Genesis 11 represents the ancestor as well as perhaps the mere father of the next named person. There are how many people in the Old Testament that we know about were not firstborn sons? Well, Abram wasn't, Isaac wasn't, Jacob wasn't, Joseph wasn't. So we have the ancestors as well as the direct immediate descendants listed. And that's my way of saying, in a complicated way, I apologize, that there were millions of people on the earth by the time Abram was called out of Ur. In our book, The Genesis Flood, we have described how we arrive at these years in the last chapter on the chronology of the flood, which we hope perhaps will be of help to some who are wondering about these amazing things that God did.
And you can get some of these resources, folks, that Dr. Whitcomb's talking about at WhitcombMinistries.org, WhitcombMinistries.org. You'll also find his sermons on sermon.com/Whitcomb. You'll find his Facebook page as well. And, again, we point you to WhitcombMinistries.org. You can hear Dr. Whitcomb preaching each week on VCY America, I think on Sunday afternoons on VCY America Radio Network. And we also carry a sermon of his each week that is posted at WorldviewRadio.com, WorldviewRadio.com. And you can hear that with our app that you can get at WorldviewWeekend.com/APP. Please tell your friends about it, WorldviewWeekend.com/APP. The shorter URL would be WVWTV.com, WVWTV.com/APP. WVWTV.com/APP is a shorter URL if you're looking to get the free app for your iPhone, iPad, or Android, and you can hear Dr. Whitcomb that way as well. And I would remind you about the VCY America app at vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org. Now, Dr. Whitcomb, let's talk about this third question that's come in. This person writes and says, I've always been taught that the Old Testament saints would receive their glorified bodies at the rapture of the church. However, after closer study, it seems that only the church is involved in the rapture and the marriage supper of the Lamb. Paul said, quote, the dead in Christ will rise first, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. End quote. If this is the case, this person writes, when will the Old Testament saints receive their glorified bodies as well as the tribulation saints and the millennial saints?
All right, a very good question. Yes, the church is first. Praise the Lord for God's mercy. The body and bride of Christ is the first unit of mankind to receive a glorified body since Jesus did nearly 2,000 years ago. Christ, the first fruits of them that slept, and then afterward they that are his at his coming. And then there's another rapture, glorification, 3.5 years later. The two witnesses, remember, Revelation 11, will be murdered by the Antichrist, and a half a week later they'll be resurrected and have glorified bodies. And then there's a third case, and that's at the end of the tribulation, when every believer who's ever believed in God from Adam and Eve on down to John the Baptist before the church, will be resurrected and glorified. You say, where does it say that? Revelation 20. Listen to this. That those who have not worshipped the beast in his image, that's during the tribulation, will come to life and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Those aren't Christians. You see, the Christians had been glorified 7 years earlier and will have experienced, of course, the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. And that is an order of events. Glorification when? At the rapture of the church, dead in Christ and living Christians. Second, the two witnesses 3.5 years later. Third, all those who have died during the tribulation, martyred for their faith in Jesus. And then, of course, at the end of the millennium, those who have believed in God during the millennial period, that is, who enter the millennium with non-glorified bodies, who will be the believers that survive, will be glorified. It doesn't say exactly how that'll happen, but we know that by the end of this the millennium, every believer in God from Adam and Eve onward will have been glorified and qualified thereby to be with him forever in heaven.
Thank you, Dr. Whitcomb. All right, here's the next one. What are accurate verses, inaccurate ways to describe how God's word is living and powerful? What are accurate verses, inaccurate ways to describe how God's word is living and powerful? I'm not sure how this reads, but anyway, they cite Hebrews 4:12. Would it be neo-orthodox to think that since God's word is living, it is purposely designed to mean quiet different things to different people on different days? Oh, wow, that's kind of dangerous. Go ahead, Dr. John.
What are accurate versus inaccurate? In other words, what's the difference? Ways to describe how God's word is living and powerful. Now, I have never heard of this view that neo-Orthodox theologians, that is those who deny the basic truths of the Bible, they say since God's word is living, it's purposely designed to mean different things to different people on different days. How totally absurd. You see, God makes it very clear, doesn't he, in the Bible, that you must be very careful how you handle the Bible. Remember the last verses of Revelation 22, I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of the prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life. I said, dear Lord, I don't want to try that. I don't want to add anything or subtract anything from your precious book, the Bible. You know, even the Apostle Peter said that the Apostle Paul wrote some things, he said, that are hard to be understood. Now, this is a very precious dedication, and I say recommendation, of his fellow Apostle Paul.
Hold right there, Dr. John. We'll pick it up on the other side of the break. Dr. John Whitcomb's our guest for Ask Dr. John. We'll be right back. We are pleased to announce that Dr. John MacArthur will be speaking for the 12th annual Branson Worldview Weekend in beautiful Branson, Missouri, April 24, 25, and 26. He'll be speaking on Friday night and taking questions live from the audience. Dr. John MacArthur of Grace to You, backed by popular demand, include these speakers, all speaking on 100% new material. Jesse Johnson, Dr. Tommy Ice is with us for the very first time. Mike Abendroth is back. Dr. Henry Morris of the Institute for Creation Research. Mike Gendron, Jason Carlson, myself, Brandon House, and I'm sure we'll be announcing one or two more. So if you're interested in getting priority upfront seating, the deadline is coming. And the website is worldviewweekend.com/Branson. worldviewweekend.com/Branson. We're seeing more people register for the Branson Worldview Weekend at this time and point than we've ever seen. So if you want to get priority upfront seating for the 12th annual Branson Worldview Weekend, we urge you to register today at worldviewweekend.com/Branson. That's worldviewweekend.com/Branson. I think we're going to have a wonderful turnout, and we hope you're a part of it. Last year, we had people from all over the United States of America. We had something like 39 states represented. So don't miss out on the 12th annual Branson Worldview Weekend. Full details, hotel information, and speaker information is available at worldviewweekend.com/Branson. You'll also find our mailing address there if you prefer to send a check and register that way. But don't miss out on the 12th annual Branson Worldview Weekend. Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Weekend Radio. Our guest, Dr. John Whitcomb, his website, whitcombministries.org. And by the way, all of the programs we've done with Dr. John Whitcomb are archived, approaching 70 or more now, are archived in the Situation Room for you to go back and enjoy it, situationroom.net. Dr. John, you want to pick it back up where we left off during the break?
Yes. Of course, the question is, what are accurate versus inaccurate ways to describe how God's Word is living and powerful? Hebrews 4:12. Some theologians, so-called, say that means if it's the Bible is alive, it can say different things to different people on different days. This is a total distortion of what God meant. We saw in Revelation 22, don't you add anything to what God said or subtract anything. Peter said of Paul's letters that just as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, wrote to you, so also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand. Now listen, which the untaught and unstable distort as they do also the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. I say, Lord, spare me, even if I find some difficult statements in the Bible here and there. I'm not free to just interpret it any way I want to. God's word puts every statement into context, parallel passages that explain what God meant by what he said. So it does take time, yes, but God warns us about this, doesn't he, in 1 Timothy 6:3. If anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited, understands nothing, has a morbid interest in controversial questions, and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. So sad. They're in this for the money, to say, I talked to Jesus today, and he said something different than what the Bible says, so believe what I say he said. What a blasphemy. What a perversion. How tragic. And, of course, we all know that statement in 2 Timothy 2. It's almost God's final word on this subject. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Listen to this. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearance in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come, and friends that say it, sadly, it's here, when they will not endure sound doctrine, that's healthy teaching, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they'll accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desire and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn to myths. But you, listen, God is talking to me too, friends, about this. Be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And I say, Lord, by the Holy Spirit of God, in your mercy, protect me from arrogance, from pride, from setting myself up as an inspired person. Help me to submit my heart and mind to what you've said in the only book you ever wrote, the Bible.
Thank you, Dr. John. All right, here's the next one, folks, that someone has sent in. And again, you can do the same when you email us, info@worldviewweekend.com, and please put in the subject line, Ask Dr. John, info@worldviewweekend.com. When comparing Acts chapter 3, verse 1, and Acts chapter 4, verse 3, we see that several hours have taken place between the healing of the lame man and the temple guards arresting Peter and John. The message Peter gave at Solomon's patio is quite short. Shall we believe that these were the exact words of Peter, or shall we take that it is an edited paraphrase of something Peter said at that time?
All right, very interesting question. I never heard that before. When you compare Acts 3:1, which says Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, that's about 3 p.m., middle of the afternoon, okay, and they found this crippled man, under God's power, that he was healed, as you know, and gave them an opportunity to preach, Peter an opportunity to appeal to the whole nation to repent and turn to Jesus. And then the speech ends, as we read in chapter 4, verse 3, what happened. They laid hands, that is, some of the temple guards laid hands on them and put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening. So you only got about 3 hours here, from 3 p.m. to the evening, about 3 hours. Now, here's my strong conviction about this. Peter, James, John, Paul, those great apostles, preached long sermons. You remember, Paul preached all night until one boy fell out the window and died. Those sermons weren't like 30-minute homilies. They spoke for long. Of course, not every single word he preached was recorded here. But here's the point: shall we believe that these were exact words of Peter? Of course we do. What is recorded is what he did say. It doesn't say that that's all he said, but what is recorded is what he did say. The same thing, of course, in Acts 17 with Paul preaching at Mars Hill. Just a small portion of what he actually said is recorded, but what is recorded, here's the point, is exactly what he did say. So I say thank you, Lord, for giving us, the Apostle John said, remember, if everything Jesus said was recorded, the world couldn't hold the books that would be written. End of the Gospel of John. God has given us, just a little portion of the major points of emphasis of these sermons for our edification. So what is said is correct, accurate, sufficient for our need today.
Thank you, Dr. John. All right, here. How are Christians to respond to violence against yourself or your family? I've heard Christians say that we should carry a gun and, if need be, use it in self-defense. But from the scriptures, I see Jesus and many of his apostles and disciples being martyred, not defending their lives, but saying it was an honor to be persecuted for Jesus' sake. I also read that the Lord will take revenge, not us. Also, my thought is that I know when I'm going to heaven to be with Christ, and I know that someone who is attacking me is not a believer. Is it not more loving to allow them to live and hopefully repent and believe in Christ? Dr. John's a good question. Let me just say, I think the Old Testament clearly tells us if someone breaks into your home and their blood is shed and there is no guilt on your hand. And then did not Jesus ask the disciples there before he was crucified, do you have a knife? Do you have a sword? If not, go sell something and get one. That verse is often used for people to say that there's nothing wrong with being involved in biblical self-defense of oneself or of one's family. Others would say if you don't provide for your family spiritually and physically, you're worse than a pagan, an unbeliever. What say you, Dr. John?
That's a very difficult one, very difficult. Listen carefully to what Jesus said about this. In Luke 22:36, he said, of course, he's preparing the disciples for the fact that he's going to leave them now. He's going to heaven. They won't have his special protection and provision every day like they did when they walked with him. They didn't have to go buy food and look for protection and so forth while he was with them. So Jesus said to them in Luke 22, verse 36, listen carefully. Now, let him who has a purse take it along, likewise also a bag, in other words, provide for your food. Let him who has no sword sell his robe and buy one. For I tell you that this which is written must be fulfilled in me. He was numbered with the transgressors. In other words, I'm about to die. And they said, look, Lord, here are two swords. For all 12 men, they said, we have two swords. He said, it's enough, or enough of this. You say, what? Now, that's confusing, isn't it? Well, now let's keep reading, because when the enemies of Jesus then came, you remember at the Garden of Gethsemane, and captured him, what happened? Listen. When those who were around him saw, verse 49, what was going to happen, they said, Lord, shall we strike with a sword? And a certain one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. That's Peter, of course. And Jesus then said, stop, no more of this, and touched his ear and healed him. Stop. In other words, you have misused, misunderstood, misapplied the provision I graciously granted to you for normal protection in your life and family and home and ministries. So I say, what then are we supposed to do? Well, of course, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, and this, of course, is the great sermon that he gave them to prepare them for what was coming. Matthew chapter 5. I'm turning quickly to this passage. All right, here we go. Matthew 5, 39. I say unto you, do not resist him who is evil, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn to him the other also. If anyone wants to sue you, take your shirt and let him have the coat also. Whoever shall force you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You say, well, Lord, that's this law of non-resistance is impossible for us to apply today. Now, here's the balance. Here's the balance. Soldiers were to carry weapons. Really? You mean we are not personally to carry weapons and defend ourselves in a military way? We're to submit to human government. Romans 13:4. Yes, the government will take care of you. They will kill murderers. They will protect you. Not only the police department, the government provides, but also soldiers. And God, you know, John the Baptist said to those soldiers, said, what should we do? Luke 3:14 said, be content with your wages. Don't get out of the army. Every government in this sin-cursed earth needs protection that God has provided through military forces and police departments. And the point is that you yourself don't have to do all of this. Soldiers were greatly honored. by God. Remember 2 Timothy 2:4, be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And I say, now Lord, help me to understand this, that I am to be depending, first of all, on you. This is so complicated, it's very delicate. If a thief, a robber, a terrorist, a murderer breaks into your house, what do? Do you have a gun ready to shoot him immediately? Of course not. No matter where you are, you can be attacked by some murderer. And God says, only in heaven do thieves not break through to steal. Not on this earth is any place totally secure. The main thing is, for the sake of Jesus, how do you die when your time comes, if someone comes in to kill you? Graciously, lovingly, this is supernatural. I meant by the Holy Spirit alone can do this in a believer's heart. Be gracious to this murderer. Tell him about Jesus. Tell him how to be saved. Even if he kills you, you have done your work of reflecting the light of Jesus into his life. You say, Dr. Whitcomb, how can you imagine a thing like this? I can't imagine it. I don't want to. But thousands of Christians, as we know in the Near East, are being systematically murdered. And I say, Lord, may it come not to this country. But how do we know? Perilous times will come. Help us to be witnesses of Jesus, not running around with guns to pirates, but we're suspicious of, but to be lovingly, graciously protectors of the light and of the darkness.
Dr. John Whitcomb, phone lines now open, 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your questions, your comments, 1-800-347-9829. We'll be right back. Will you support a biblical alternative to the false teaching of TBN, INSP, Daystar, and other such networks? News reports state that New Age Mormon Glenn Beck has 300,000, yes, 300,000 subscribers at around $99 a year for his on-demand programming. This gives him the funding he needs to broadcast his worldview. TBN raises millions of dollars a year, and news reports state that Word of Faith false teacher Kenneth Copeland brings in $100 million a year. That gives them the resources they need to broadcast their worldview. Would you be willing to partner with us so we can continue to broadcast a biblical worldview? Would you be willing to partner with us to help us generate the needed financial resources for building the premier biblical worldview online radio and television network? You can do this by two ways. One, joining our Worldview Weekend Situation Room at situationroom.net. That's situationroom.net. Or by making a tax-deductible contribution at worldviewweekendfoundation.com. The shorter URL is wvwfoundation.com. You see, when you do this, you can help us grow and maintain an alternative for biblically committed Christians. We are committed to continuing our efforts in building a biblical television network of broadcasters as an alternative to the false teaching that's found on TBN and INSP and God TV and BET and Daystar and, yes, even NRB TV that broadcast the false teaching of Sid Roth and others. We've assembled a group of Bible teachers, authors, commentators, talk show hosts, and pastors, and we've given them their own television programs. Folks, our summer has been busy with filming these new programs in our Memphis, Tennessee studio, and we'll be launching these programs in the fall of 2014. Our mission statement is summed up in really this: proclaiming and defending a biblical worldview. Now, these programs are going to be diverse in topic, they're going to be compelling in content, timeless in application of truth, and biblically sound in theology. And as the world's premier biblical worldview web-based radio and television network, we're going to be rolling out a brand new app, an application that you can use on your smartphones, updating our Roku channel, and much more. But we need the resources to do this. And you can help us by either joining the Situation Room at situationroom.net, situationroom.net, and or going to wvwfoundation.com. That's wvwfoundation.com, and making a tax-deductible contribution or becoming a monthly supporter. Together, we can build a biblical worldview radio and television network that's an alternative to the networks that are out there today promoting false teaching. Thank you so much for partnering with us right now. Welcome back. Glad you're with us. 1-800-347-9829. I was just saying to Dr. Whitcomb, my view on the last question is, if someone breaks into my house, my family is here. I think it's already been predestined that they're to die, because that's just the way I view this one on the issue of self-defense and a family. I'm not negotiating with someone that breaks into my house, and I'm not there to share the gospel with them when they break in my house. Gladly share the gospel with them, you know, in a public setting on the street or over coffee, or if they want to come up to me somewhere and ask me a question. But if they break in my house, they're not there to hear the gospel, and I'm not there to share it with them. And like I said, if they're not saved at that point, well, then guess what? It wasn't predestined that they were to be saved. So I know there are differing views and opinions on this one. That is mine. Dr. John and I rarely disagree with each other. But we might disagree a little bit on this one. But other than that, that's fine. We can do that. It's not an essential gospel issue, is it, Dr. John?
Amen.
Let's go to the phone lines, 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Line 1, Daniel from Rice Lake. Thanks for calling in, Daniel. Go right ahead.
Hello. Many claim to be filled with the Holy Spirit and are not. How can we tell if someone is truly filled with the Holy Ghost?
All right, that's not an easy question. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, of course, being controlled by Him, directed by Him, and it's not some bright light coming out of your face. That isn't the point at all. Or that you can perform a miracle. That isn't the point at all. Being filled with the Holy Spirit means being controlled by Him in the sense that you are doing His will according to His wonderful word, the Bible, by God's power, not your own. And so I say, Lord, help me to be very humble. One who is filled with the Holy Spirit is not proud, arrogant, self-sufficient. He's gracious, kindly, loving, humble, and God-honoring, Christ-centered, and biblical.
Excellent. Great question. Great answer. 1-800-347-9829. 1-800-347-9829. Tom in Mitchell, South Dakota. The Corn Palace is located there in Mitchell. Tom, go right ahead.
Yes, the world's biggest bird feeder. The whole outside is filled with corn cobs and stuff, and birds just flock there, and you got to be careful when you walk underneath.
I bet you do.
I was intrigued by what was talked about, the word being living and meaning something to different people. Is it possible that the Bible says that when I was a child, I thought, spoke, in like a child, and then it also says that some people need the milk of the word rather than the meat. Is it possible that the word will never change its meaning, but that the people, as they submit and as they study and learn and mature, they will get more out of it? I've studied certain verses, come back a year later, and I got a whole different depth of understanding. And I'll just hang up and listen. Thank you.
Thank you. Go right ahead, Dr. John.
Amen. Very good question. Of course, that's one of the precious promises in the book of Hebrews, isn't it? That we can, we must grow from step to step and stage to stage into maturity, because solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil, Hebrews 5:14. So the milk of the word gets us started like babies, but you don't spend your whole Christian life as a baby just drinking milk. Simple doctrines. You say, what do you mean simple doctrines? Well, Hebrews 6:1 explains some. It says, leaving the elementary teaching about Christ, let's press on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, faith toward God, washings, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal death. Now, these are basic truths that any child, can I put it that way, that strongly, can grasp. But there are very intricate truths that go beyond all of that, that God says is a solid food of the word. Now, he's talking about Melchizedek, you see, and that's not an easy one, the relationship of Melchizedek to Christ in a high priesthood system. So I say, Lord, help me to grow in grace, not in arrogance or pride, but to listen more carefully to the intricate details of your precious book, the Bible, that the Spirit of God will enable me to do as I trust in Him.
Thank you, Dr. John. All right, let's go to our next caller. Let's go to Angel in Chicago, Illinois. Angel, thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Brandon and Doctor. My question is really simple. I want to know if someone who is Jewish, was born and raised in a Jewish home, and followed the Jewish law, if they were to die tonight and never accepted Christ throughout their entire life, where do they go?
All right. The answer to that is very clear in the Bible, isn't it? Both Jew and Gentile, every human being, except little children, of course, Jesus makes that exception. Little children who die will go to heaven. You know those passages in Matthew 18 and so forth. But whether you're a Jew or a Gentile today, in the sight of God makes no difference. You still have a sin nature, and you will pay for that at the final judgment. I say, Lord, help me to be merciful. Merciful to people whose salvation I question, that I might live a life that will attract them to Jesus and tell them about what Jesus did for them, and he died and rose from the dead. So that is the Jewish people, of course, you know, will find themselves under an alliance with the Antichrist after the rapture of the church. This is, of course, you remember Daniel 9:27. They will follow him. Jesus put it this way: I have come in my Father's name, and you receive me not, speaking to the Jews, but one is coming in his own name, and him you will receive. John 5. I say, Lord, how sad. Millions of Jewish people need a Savior, just like millions of Gentile people do today. And God will judge people on the basis, of course, what they've known, their opportunities they've had, what they have done to the Word of God in their conscience and mind. And so Jew and Gentile alike are before God guilty until they come to the one who paid the price for our sin in faith in what he did on that cross and his resurrection.
Let's go to Mary, line 4. Mary, thanks for calling in. Go right ahead, Mary.
My question to you is, if a person says that they've given their life to the Lord and remain babes in Christ, and or down the road they commit suicide, where would they spend eternity?
Okay, we've covered this one before, but you got like 10 seconds, Dr. John.
I apologize. I could not hear that question.
Someone that commits suicide that had evidence of being a believer, that doesn't keep them from going to heaven, correct?
I'm so sorry.
All right, we'll get that one, Mary. The music is distracting for him. We'll ask that one next time. We've covered it. You'll find it in our Situation Room, but we'll cover it on our next time with Dr. John Whitcomb. His website's whitcombministries.org. Stay tuned for Crosstalk.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.
How would you like to receive $300 in Worldview Weekend DVDs? Hello, I'm Brannon House, and when you join the Situation Room, that's exactly what you'll receive. We're going to send you 20 of our Worldview Weekend DVDs as our way of saying thank you for joining the Worldview Weekend Situation Room. That is a huge part of our general operating budget. You see, without a healthy general operating budget, how can we produce all of the radio shows that we sponsor? Look at all the radio shows that we specifically sponsor and produce, like the radio show of Mike Abendroth, the radio show of Justin Peters, and the radio Bible teaching program of Susan Heck, and the list goes on and on. These are unique radio shows, many of them that we started, and we sponsor them. The same thing is true with our television. We not only have the Worldview Weekend Hour TV show, but we now are giving television shows, specifically their own TV show, to Mike Abendroth, Tommy Ice, Mike Gendron, Justin Peters, Usama Dakdok, and they come into our Memphis, Tennessee studio, they film them here, and then we, Worldview Weekend and Worldview Weekend Foundation, post-edit them and distribute them as a ministry. And then, of course, they roll into the Situation Room after a few days where you have this vast library of over $45,000 in resources. But we can't do that unless enough of you join the Situation Room, which acts as the general operating budget for producing radio and television. So let me be honest with you. When you join the Situation Room, you're doing us a big favor, but we also think you're doing yourself a favor and your family a favor by having access online to a vast library of MP3s, audiobooks, TV shows, transcripts, e-books, and much more. So please, join the Situation Room today, situationroom.net, and our latest offer, we like to update this offer every now and then, our latest offer is we're sending anyone that joins today, as of today, the new offer is 20 of our Worldview Weekend DVDs will be put in the mail to you. That's $300 worth of DVDs that we're sending to you as our way of saying thank you for joining the Worldview Weekend Situation Room. You can join now at situationroom.net, situationroom.net. This offer, sadly, is only for people living inside the United States of America because of the expensive cost of shipping outside the United States. But please, don't let that stop our international friends from joining. You can get the great value of the Situation Room as well by joining at situationroom.net. We just can't offer you the free DVDs because of the cost of shipping. However, those of you living in the U.S., join today, situationroom.net. We're going to send you 20 DVDs valued retail-wise at $300 as our way of saying thank you for joining the Situation Room and supporting our general operating budget that allows us to continue to produce radio and television from a biblical worldview perspective with many different hosts.